it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son. How are ya?
Hi, Bully. Great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got a kit, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
Why are we doing this?
For the love of the game, mate.
For the love of rugby.
Let me introduce your hosts.
Fordy's ringing me back. Our kid.
How are you, mate?
Oh, mate, just a quick question, right?
Yeah.
But who has a better pass, me or Danny Kerr?
No man has played for England more times than Ben Youngs.
What do they call it? Collaborative competition.
Oh, Dan Cole. With his 100 caps, all his medals, his cuddly cute face and his beautifully shiny head.
Who's posher and is he actually Northern because he's lived in the South for a long time? For the love of rugby. In today's episode, we celebrate Danny Kerr's 100 caps for England.
We get into our healthy rivalry and how that made us both a better player.
Which celebrity will contribute to his congratulations video?
Will David Beckham feature?
And we get a very special guest involved to help settle a debate.
Enjoy.
Hello, this is a special bonus episode ahead of the Ireland game.
For what should be a very special occasion for one individual.
Only six men have played 100 times for England. Ben Youngs.
Dan Cole.
Jason Leonard.
Owen Farrell.
Courtney Laws.
And soon to be
Danny Kerr. So firstly, obviously, we will send our congratulations to Danny. It's a wonderful achievement that we're both lucky enough to have done in our careers. 100 caps. Danny will be the sixth Englishman to have done it, which is fantastic for him. You obviously spent a lot of time playing with him and competing against him. How do you get on with Danny? We'll start with that. How do you get on with him personally? And then how do you get on with him on the field as a rugby player?
Very, very well. Very well. I think a lot of times people have this perception that, you know, that there's these mad rivalries between players that have competed with each other for so long. So myself and Danny is obviously an example of that. Owen and George Ford would be another example of that. They've competed for the 10 shirt for a long, long time. And it's just not the case. Like, we get on very, very well. Of course, there's mutual respect naturally when you cross over the line and you train and you compete. Like, you are competing to start and get the nod, and you know that competitive edge is in everyone, right? But it drives each other to be better and push and all that. But as soon as you come off that, like, he's just a great bloke, and I've always enjoyed, I think, that level of respect in terms of knowing that when you're on a training pitch, you're pushing and you're competing in a really healthy way, right? But like, as soon as you come off the pitch, it's like you're just back to normal, just like mates just chatting and being that. And I've never ever felt like there's this like I remember, for example, when 2016 Grand Slam game, and we're going to France away, and Eddie just pulled me in the office and just said, look, mate, I'm going to start with Danny, and you'll come on at the end. I think the game's going to be won at the end, and I want Danny to bring tempo at the start of the game, because he brings in he can play at pace and he's dangerous. And he scored a great try that game, and then I managed to set up a try for Ant Watson.
There's another try scorer in that game as well, Ben.
Oh my God, I left you out. Sorry. Go on.
Well, it was one of the epic tries of all time ever scored against the French by an Englishman, but just leave it out, it's fine.
I'm sorry. There were three epic tries that day. Danny Kerr being one, brilliant try, like, does what he does, approaches the breakdown nice and square, and there's a scrum half, any young scrum half listening, because we've got loads of listeners, global, yeah. We're global. And you want to be square so you can see the round the ruck with the space. And he goes through and he scores. And then you scored a remarkable try from seven out.
Yeah, they tackled the wrong bloke. They tackled Mako out of the ball. And then I just rolled over the line. But yeah, it's not about me.
Still needed finishing. And then, like I said, Eddie basically, and this is why I suppose trying to bring it back really, but is myself and Danny have different skills and different qualities, right? And I think we complemented each other in terms of playing that test rugby.
Yeah, because say for a long part of your career, I think the combination worked well, especially for England, because you started a lot of the games and Danny would come off the bench and there would be other times when obviously it flipped round, but the combination of you two gave England probably the best 80 minutes in the nine shirt, which is what you want, really.
Yeah, and that was always the thing. Me and Danny always looked at it as how do we make sure that the nine position is seamless for 80 minutes? So whatever needs to be done, the guy comes on, whether that's Danny or myself, and it's just seamless and we add and we bring our strengths. So that French game was an example where Eddie wanted Danny at the start and me at the end because he knew how the game might unfold, and actually he absolutely nailed it on that.
Right, I'm going to question you. So can you compare, you said like you and Danny have different skill sets. Can you like compare and contrast your games? Because from my point of view, I'd say you're both runners. How on that spectrum of nine play, how do you, and where do you think you and DC say sit in regards to the control of the game versus the looseness of the game?
Yeah, you're right. Because although I say we've got different skills, we have got different skills, but in many ways we're actually similar.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're like, we like to attack. We like to run. We like to snipe. And I think what compliment is, you know, the start of a test match is it's an arm wrestle. It's a grind. And I always felt that I was able to kind of control that early part of a game and, you know, what's sort of is a predominantly tight.
It's almost trying to be mistake free.
Yes.
And you're trying to put pressure on the opposition and not make any error. You're playing right areas of the field and it's, as you say, it's an arm wrestle. You're trying to work each other out and trying to basically grind each other down in some regards in test match rugby, aren't you?
It's a tactical first 30, 20 minutes. Like you can play with tempo, when the opportunity comes, of course you can go. But predominantly it's about being error free, getting out your half and doing all that. And then when you're in the opposition half, like build tempo and play and do all that. And I always felt like I was able to do that. And then I felt Danny was able to, back end of the game, is with his pace and his sniping ability, was then obviously pick on guys that maybe were a little bit run out of juice come the end of the game, and he was able to then come on and bring that tempo and do that. And I almost felt like it was, like I say, this seamless sort of like transition of that nine jersey being like for 80 minutes, just a really solid performance. And now if we both came off and at the end of the game, if England have won and we've played well, like we've done our role, me and him, and it wasn't like I've played well and he's played well and what's going to happen next week? It was just like, mate, we've done our job, like perfect.
Yeah. To get 100 caps, like you either have to be the best player in the world ever, or you have to be able to be a really good player and fit into a squad, because it's not all going to go your way. And I think like to get 100 caps, you have to do multiple roles within that squad. And I think, I say yourself and Danny, is the ability to come off the bench or be starter or be the third bloke in that rotation is it's, I think those are the unseen bits that, you know, people don't see. People go 100 caps, brilliant player, yes, but actually it's all the stuff off the field and how you work in a team and the dynamics of a team and dynamics of a squad, and actually being the ability to be in a squad and not be disruptive, say if you're on the bench or not playing, but you still add into the team, still training or competing. And that's probably what a true testament to, I think, people who have, you know, been in the game a long time and stuff, is that ability that people don't see because it's off the field and you wouldn't particularly notice. But I think, you know, you and DC obviously both got 100 caps now, but that ability to push each other but also not be disruptive. What do they call it? Collaborative competition.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it's been throughout, is collaborative competition. And you're right. I think, you know, to get 100 caps is, I mean, to get 50 is impressive, and to get 100 is, it really is. And I think now that I've stepped away from it, you kind of realize it, and you probably won't until you do step away from it, is, you know, that is some effort. And, you know, he's been selected by a number of different coaches, which again, like, you, anyone can play a tune once, right? Play the piano once, you put a chimp on a piano, it'll play a tune at some point. Like, you see guys that come and go that get one, two, three caps, and it just, you know, it sort of, that's where they're at, and you find out, okay, maybe Test rugby's not for them. To have the longevity to still play and get to 100 caps is a compliment, as you say, Coley, to one, your ability to keep evolving with the game and pushing and all that. Two, a compliment to your internal motivation to push, because so much is done away from the training field and what everything's done at that and during the week to get to that level. Three is your ability to fit into a group and add. And he's a great guy that brings a lot of energy, brings a lot of enthusiasm, and he's great company. And he you need people like that in a squad, because the game and the situation and test level affects people in different ways. But you need people like Danny that bring a lot of energy, bring a lot of enthusiasm off the pitch and relax people and make them feel good and, you know, bring that sort of humour side, but also like relaxed and all that. And the beauty of being able to then switch it on.
Yeah. Well, say for a long time as well, he was involved in the England Social Committee. So when we're going on tours and he'd organise certain, say on days off, he would organise. I remember one time, I think we had a snake charmer and wild stuff, you know, coming to camp, and that ability and sort of doing quiz shows and game shows and getting people in. And I think like that, you have to have a certain personality, but it's a way of bringing the group together. And again, that's not what, if you just watch rugby, 80 minutes of rugby, you know what I mean? It's the bits behind the scenes where actually you're a good squad person, you actually add and you bring boys together and all those kind of things bring squads tighter, and you're never getting credit for it, but it's an essential role that needs to be done. So going back to your and Danny's relationship, you spent a lot of time together. How did you manage, say, one of you's playing well, one of you's playing badly in England squad, or one of you has a bad game? How did you manage that? Because obviously, sometimes a part of a person goes, oh, your opposite number plays badly, I'm very happy. But then it's, you know what I mean? He's never seemed to me like been that kind of way inclined.
No.
We'd not review, to be honest.
No, we'd always chat. Like, if I was finding aspects of the game difficult or an area that like I didn't feel was firing to the level that I wanted, I'd just chat to him about it, because there's nothing that he hasn't gone through that he can't help with, and equally there's nothing I haven't gone through that I can't help him with. And when you play in the same position, it's like, it's nice to bounce things off each other, like, look mate, what do you think to this? Like, so if I take some examples, like every time we'd do skills, like at the end of this training, like you obviously go and do your practice, hone in on your own skills. So I'd always do that with Danny. Like we'd kick together, we'd pass together. We'd then talk about certain moves. Like, what do you reckon the timing's on that? Let me run that again. Can you watch, like, what do you think? Like, where, why is that going wrong on that move? And he might say like, hold your feet, do this. I think you got more time. Or, and it's that like constant dialogue of trying to help each other. Because in the long run, by helping each other, you're helping yourself as well. You know, it kind of, it all goes full circle, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a strange dynamic. So we have it in the front row, whereas you are competing against each other, say, scrum time. Me and Marla is when he goes forward in a scrum against each other. But then you sort of afterwards tell the person how you did it, because if he gets better, then I have to be better to stop him. And it's that whole flip-flopping of, you know, you're pushing each other. Actually, overall, everything grows and everything becomes better because you are competing against each other. And if you've got two world-class players pushing each other, then whoever starts, it's good for the squad. And I say, ultimately, I've said before, I think you get to a point in your career where you prefer to be second choice in a winning team than first choice in a losing one. Well, you should be. If you're not, you're in the wrong team.
I've always enjoyed competing with Danny, because it's always been such a healthy and done the right way.
Yeah.
And I think we've both shown vulnerability at times with each other. We've both been able to swallow our pride or egos if one of us needs picking up.
I think you also, like, as an individual, knowing you're being pushed brings out the best of you. And I think as individuals, as players, it's probably, if you're not getting pushed, whether that's by, you have to be a self-starter in some regards. Like, you've got to be able to push yourself and motivate yourself. But having that extra level of competition with someone in the squad, it brings out the best of you. And I think, you know, I've probably been at my best when you've had somebody in the squad, or you have someone to chase or someone to push. And that's, and as an individual, you feel probably more satisfied by, you know what I mean? Like playing or being, having that direct competition, it makes everything better. And you know, you're getting the best out of yourself, rather than if you just left your own devices, it's kind of, you're good enough, but it takes a really world-class person to do everything every day. You almost need that element of competition, that element of sort of adrenaline to keep you, push you to be better. And I think, you know, we can be grateful in, also, you know, I'm sure Danny has pushed you to be a better player, and similar with he's put, you know, you've pushed him to be better players, which probably you can both be thankful for in the long run, you know what I mean?
Definitely worth mentioning as well is that Danny got left out in 2019 World Cup. In fact, he didn't even make the training squad, which was, in my opinion, criminal, like absolutely mental decision. But I think testament to him is he got left out there and he would have been gutted, you know, he would, without doubt, because, you know, losing that and being part of that team that was very successful under Eddie all the way up to 19 and then not making that would have hugely hurt. But then to see him come back to then now be on, you know, days away from getting his 100th cap is testament to his, I mean, you face the same thing. So like, what is it? Like, what do you put it down to?
Well, I think, yeah, deep down, I think you, there's probably a bit of ignorance in your own head about like, I'm still good enough to do this. I'm going to prove everybody wrong. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to give up. There's still probably, well, he obviously enjoys playing rugby for his club and his country. So he still has the motivation and just the enjoyment of going out and playing. And I think when you know, sometimes you're probably playing with a bit of like two fingers up at the world going, I'm playing because prove people wrong. But I think ultimately his quality is shown through. And so when he's brought back in the World Cup camp in 2023 by Steve, he proved his quality and he proved his value to the squad. And he's why he's still there now. And you almost need that sort of experience and his ability. I think, you know, during the World Cup in 2023, him come off the bench, well, he saved Al Bacon a couple of times, didn't he, in regards to, I think, made a tackle against Fiji in the corner, similar with Samoa, scored and then made another sort of stop, which is not something you necessarily associate with Danny. But, you know, that role he played, he played it brilliantly. And that's why England probably got to where we got to.
Yeah, he had some big, big moments, like huge moments. And yeah, as you say, I just think like to then come back and say and then have a big impact like he did, like, credit to him. And I suppose bloody mindedness of like, I'm still playing well, I'm going to get back. And he did. And like I say, I think he's so deserved of the 100 and more and everything that, you know, all the praise that he will get, rightly so, this week.
Because he got capped before us.
He did.
He's older than me, just like for the record, he's like very much older than me by about 2 months, 3 months. But yeah, so his career actually is, because he came hot on the scene. I played England under 20s with him and he was like the best player there and hot on the scene early doors and got capped very early. So from ability to say play for almost 20 years in some regards, or, you know, 18, 19 years international career. And yeah, no, it's credit to him and it's a phenomenal guy for doing it.
If I think pick up some of Danny's great moments, and I don't want to talk on his behalf, but you know, I remember, I think off a scrum against Australia in the autumn, they went 8-9 down the short side, he put a lovely grubber through and we scored off that. Great moment. 2016, that try he scored in the Grand Slam game, as we touched on earlier, that was a huge moment for us as a side. He scored a great try against Ireland at Twickenham. I think Mike Brown to Rob Shaw to Danny, and they beat that, and O'Driscoll was trying to get back to tackle him, and DC showed his pace and scored that one as well. So he's had some big moments for England. And you know, I just think some of the biggest England's wins, or those periods of those 18 games and Grand Slams and all that, you know, Danny's had a significant role in that and a big part of England for a long, long time, for over a decade, and testament to him.
So what's a 37-year-old Danny like compared to the 19, 20-year-old Danny we knew?
Well, experienced. But I think one thing is probably when you get older and you play for England, and you know, you've maybe been out for England for a while and come back in, it's not that you don't underappreciate it when you are in it, but when you've had a spell out and you go back in, I think you really really appreciate what it is, and all the moments become a bit more special, a bit more memorable. You want to savor the moment each time, and I think he's probably done that. I think for him during the World Cup, I think he absolutely loved it. I think he treasured each moment more so than probably a 21-year-old would do, because for them, you know, they're a start of their journey, where when you're towards the end, you kind of take it for what it is, which is a hell of a thing to do. And you take it all and you enjoy it for what it is. But equally, you're not going to get hung up on if it goes wrong. You're not going to get hung up if it ends badly. You just enjoy the whole experience of what Test rugby is. So I think a 21-year-old Danny to a 37-year-old Danny is a guy that's just loving his rugby, enjoying every moment that comes with Test match rugby, because you never know when your last is going to be, right? But you appreciate the here and now way more than maybe when you are at 21.
Definitely. I think especially like a lot of us having kids, having a family, getting married, you obviously grow up, but you also, you take a broader perspective on things. And I think, as you say, at 21, you're probably all about the performance and playing and winning and enjoying that. Whereas actually when you take a step back and you get older, it's all about how you can contribute to the squad, how you can do this. And actually winning is the most important thing no matter what you do. So I definitely agree. Like most of us say, he's aged, but he's aged well.
How will they mark the occasion for his 100th cap?
Well, I say it has been mentioned in camp, but Danny hasn't said anything about it. Obviously, you don't want to jinx it, and it's not really the done thing to be going around mentioning cap numbers.
Not when you're stuck on 99. You don't want to give it the kiss of death.
So it's been, a couple of us have been prodding him a bit, but he's been very stoic in that regard. And I think it's going to be, well, it will be marked as it should be, like most people's are. So he'll be, there will obviously be a review, and we'll put on a thing after the game for him, and probably before the game, we'll leave the team out. So, just get there and talk about it after. You know what I mean?
You don't want to go there until it's happened. Yeah. You can enjoy every moment of it. But one thing is, obviously we mentioned before about Tom Curry's 50th and David Beckham doing his horizontal from the skyscraping penthouse.
David
Beckham here. I remember my 195th cap. Yeah. That's whatever he said. So hopefully Beck sends one in.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Now he's a Danny's a Liverpool supporter, isn't he? So I think he'd be wanting Stevie G or someone like that, maybe.
Virgil.
Yeah.
Hopefully
the players will have got together. Marla and other people that know him well will have got some nice messages from friends and family and maybe celebrities that will get played probably the night before as good luck messages.
God, I hope Beckham sends one in. David Beckham here.
Right. Well, let's have a quick ad break here. And we'll pick you up on the other side.
This is an advert for NordVPN. I absolutely love rugby, but when I'm playing away in Europe and I can't catch up on all the action, I just don't know what to do.
Well, Ben, I might just have a solution for you.
Tom Fordyce, what are you doing here?
Ben, I am here to tell you about NordVPN. You see, there is a way to safely watch all the rugby you could ever ask for, no matter where you are, whether that's away playing in Europe with Leicester, or more likely when you're on holiday in Dubai.
But you know me, Tom. When I'm away, I take all my devices, so I can watch as much rugby as possible. Surely that'll be a problem.
That, Ben, is where you were wrong, because a NordVPN account can be used on 6 devices, and it's so easy to use. You can connect with one click. Just like you, Ben, it's also got amazing speed. It's one of the fastest VPNs out there.
Mate, that sounds awesome. So picture the scene. I've got my 6 screens set up. I'm watching the 6 different rugby matches from around the world. Heaven. But what happens after the final whistle?
Even better, Ben. It's not just for sport. You can stream all the TV shows and films you like by just switching your location.
Count me in. How can I try it?
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/FTLOR. That's for the love of rugby. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risks with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
For the love of NordVPN.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Those were the ads. Right, we're going to have a little fun now. I want to compare and contrast you and Danny, but we're going to do it in a bit more of a structured way. I've got a few questions from people and listeners. One is, who's posher and is he actually northern? Because he's lived in the south for a long time.
He has lived in the south for a long time. Has he not really got a northern accent, has he? Not really.
No.
So I'd say that he lives in Surrey. So I'd say he's posher, mate. What would you reckon?
I'd agree. Also, in a recent interview, right, it said that he doesn't have to worry about his nutrition too much. So he can eat a lot of like cookies and biscuits, and that's actually the secret to his success.
Oh, the envy. The envy. No, DC's always enjoyed a sweet tooth, and so have I, except for when he eats, he seems to get leaner, and when I eat, I seem to get rounder. So I am definitely jealous of his metabolism and his ability to live off junk food yet perform and still be running around and doing what he does whilst I look at a carb and it comes on the hereditary chin.
So if we go, we'll do a bit more quickfire top trumps, right? So I'm going to write a top trumps card, put it on the social. Don't do that because that will then spoil the podcast, won't it? And what we're doing there. So Caps, obviously you got 127 versus DC's 100. How would you rank yourself speed? Should we do top speed versus an acceleration? So top speed, please. What's yours? What's his? He's only got little legs though, so.
So I'd say top speed.
Yep.
I've got him.
Yep.
Acceleration off the mark.
He's got you.
He's definitely got me, yeah.
Who's got the better kicking skills?
Me.
Again, we're going to break this down though. Box kicking and chips, like as in.
Yeah, attacking kicks.
Attacking kicks.
Right. Box kicking, I'm going to give myself the nod.
Yeah.
And general like clearances and stuff like that.
Yep.
However, attacking kicks like grubbers, chips and all that, and you see him do it for Quinns, he is a master at it, a maestro. So yeah. DC definitely wins that. His ability to create little attacking kicks is very, very good. Very good.
Passing?
Superior to mine.
Okay, passing. We'll go consistency and like the grand slam pass, as in like, you know, he's probably a bit like more, takes more riskier pass, I wouldn't say that. Don't get upset, all right, mate?
Damn, we can't compare a paper bag and a hurricane to a bullet that's in the money. So I'm winning that. I've got 99.
Oh, you're the bullet.
Aaron Smith's
you?
Got 100 and Danny's got 24.
Okay. Who's got the best trap?
I'm kidding. With the pass stuff, mate, every night, like there's not a nine that can't pass a ball. So the only judge of that has got to be, I'll have to ring one of the fly offs. We ring up George Ford.
Right, yeah.
Shall I ring him now? Bear with me.
Welcome to the O2 messaging.
Don't worry, he'll call me back. He will.
Who has better chat? Whose chat's better on the field?
I don't know the answer to that because obviously with England we played together, so I'm off the pitch when he's on, so I don't know what he's chatting. And equally when we play against each other at club level, like we've got a lot of respect for each other, so there's no chat going on, like, do you know what I mean? So maybe you can answer that one.
No, I'm too far away from the action, mate.
Every nine has got a decent...
Yeah.
Like, if they want to chirp, they can chirp.
Okay. Who's taller?
I've got the height battle.
I would say weight, but I know who wins that one. So who's stronger? In the gym, who's stronger?
I'd say DC is.
Yeah.
Danny's like compact, isn't he? Like
pow, he's got short levers as well. So he's strong.
So he's got that.
Who's better on a night out?
I'd say Danny, like going out and like, you know, being London based and everything like that, he'd know where to go. He'd have the right hookups. I reckon if you want a decent night out, you go with Danny. If you just want a pub and just get stuck in with your mates, then you come to mine. So
if you just want an all you can eat buffet and just want a carvery pub
if you just want beers down a pub and all you can eat, then you're coming to me, right?
Yeah.
If you want the glitz and glamour and a good time in London, you go to DC.
Pick your poison. Who's got the better podcast?
That is Coley. Don't even ask that.
Well, I had to ask just to...
For the love of rugby.
Who's got better hair?
Oh, DC's got good hair, but it is thin. Do you mean who's got more natural hair? I've got... Mine's 100% natural, Dan.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Danny's isn't. But he might have had some help.
Right, so I've tallied it up on so far my chart, and it's 6-6, it's a draw. So we just need to have a final vote.
We'll put it in the hands of tens then. One second.
If they don't pick up, just ring up Marla.
Lendrick.
How are you, mate?
Good, things yourself.
Yeah, all good, mate. Just a quick one. Who has got a better pass, me or Danny Kerr?
It's got to be you, mate.
Yeah, double World Cup winner, Andre Pollard. There we go. I just never in doubt. Never in doubt.
It's got to be, mate. It's got to be.
I knew you'd come good, mate. Right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Right,
bye. Look, Andre hasn't played with Danny, but he recognises that I've got a really good pass. So he's won the World Cup twice, Coley.
That might be able. That's the bonus point.
He
right
knows
there.
His stuff when it comes to playing 10.
Yeah, he knows 9 play, don't he?
And so I think that's worth maybe
2. I'll give you 2 points. Because it's Pollard, because he's 2. Because he's won 2 World Cups. Yeah, so well done, Ben. You win 8-6.
Oh, yeah, boy, that felt good.
You win a bobble hat.
40's ringing me back. Our kid.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Just a quick question, right?
Yeah.
But who has a better pass, me or Danny Kerr?
Ben Youngs.
Given that I'll fill you in, if you're a gladiator, mate, I thought you might Judas me then.
Oh, mate, I just wanted to keep you waiting, mate. Boy, you're a bit anxious.
Yeah, you did.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the podcast.
Oh, are you? He's caught it, though?
Yeah.
How is he?
I mean, he won't shut up about his kick sprint and his kick chase, but...
Mate, it was phenomenal, mate.
Right, you prat. I'll leave you to it.
Bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. There we go, the verdict's out. I mean, I have just had a message from Polly.
Saying?
Andre. Happy to help, mate. I've never had to lie so quickly in my life. Like.
So that was a nice bit of fun in the episode. Anything you'd like to say to Danny as a final word on today's episode?
Congratulations, Danny. Absolute deserved of 100 caps and more. I'm sure all his family will be in the crowd watching what will be a special day. Not only for him, but for everyone that's been part of his journey along the way in the crowd. You know, I'm sure he'll enjoy it. I know the lads will mark the occasion and give him the accolades and everything that he deserves. So congratulations, Danny. You've been a hell of a 9, mate. And enjoy your special moment.
Another episode done.
If you want to drop us a line, get involved with our socials. Just search for @loveofrugby.
And if you've listened to all our episodes and need another podcast, go and find Joe Marler's Things People Do.
For the Love of Rugby is ad-free on Amazon Music. If you listen on Apple, you can get it ad-free for just £1 a week.
Our next episode will be looking back on round 4 of the Six Nations. See you Monday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.